Astronaut Scott Kelly holds the American record for the most consecutive days in space. He spent a year at the International Space Station a couple years ago. Now he's published a book of photos that he took while he was there. It's called Infinite Wonder. You can see some of the pictures at hereandnow.org. And Scott Kelly joins us now. Welcome. Now, how much did you have to learn about being a photographer to take these incredible photographs from space?
You know, interestingly enough, you know, prior to becoming an astronaut, which was in 1996, we didn't all have cameras in our pockets. You know, some people did, but I didn't.
Right.
I wasn't really a cell phone user until about 2000. But as an astronaut, you get a lot of training, a lot of photography training, not just to take pretty pictures, but, you know, for different purposes in space, whether it's, scientific research, you know, taking pictures of the Earth for scientific reasons or pictures of hardware or science experiments or just to document what we do in space. So photography is a big part of the job. We get a lot of training in it. But it really wasn't until I was living on the space station for long periods of time that I developed a not only a little bit of a skill for it, but also a love for taking pictures, particularly pictures that are, have some artistic value to them.
And how do you actually do it? It's not just like when we sit on an airplane maybe and take a photo out the window of what we're looking at down below.
You know, the pictures that I became known for a little bit were these pictures that we called Earth art. So trying to make a wall-worthy image of planet Earth, you know, using Earth as a subject matter. And the way I would do that is I would use a really long lens, a telephoto lens, and choose interesting spots of the Earth. But we are going really fast, 17,500 miles an hour, which is 5 miles a second. So you got to move the camera really quickly. And, really steadily.
Do you get a lot of blurry photos?
Yeah, you know, in the beginning, it takes a while to develop a good technique, I think months actually. Sometimes you get blurry pictures, but other times you get pictures like a lot of the ones in my book that are really, I think people find, mesmerizing and interesting and
colors are incredible. I mean, are these the actual colors that you're looking at from space?
No. So the color – I never added any color to anything, but I did enhance the natural colors using a program that was part of Google's Picasa. It was a photo editing program where you could do a computerized enhancements of images.
You clearly like taking pictures of the Bahamas.
You know, from space, the Bahamas is, amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the most expansive area of, brilliantly blue water on our planet. And, I always enjoy getting pictures of the Bahamas. Enjoy visiting there, too. Also a beautiful place up close.
You shared your photos that you were taking online, even got a fan tweet from President Obama. What was that like, realizing that your pictures were getting such a wide viewing on Earth, even from the President of the United States?
Well, it was great. You know, when you're in space for a long time, it's like I think some people say it's lonely out in space maybe a little bit. And to have that kind of connection with the people of planet Earth where – you realize that, some of them, a lot of them maybe, are including the president, are appreciating what you're doing and, not only the images but just the overall job and the sacrifice of being there. It's a really good feeling and helps you get through, a really long period of time in space with a good attitude. So I really appreciated the public's interest and support.
So speaking of it being lonely in space, you spent a year on the International Space Station. What was that like for you physically?
You know, physically, while you're in space, there are certain challenges. The in the absence of gravity, the fluid in our bodies shifts, redistributes itself. So your head feels like it's full a little bit, or, you know, people often feel congested. Mm-hmm. You know, big-headed astronaut is not just about our egos.
Ego, right.
But it's also about the fact that your head swells up. It's not particularly comfortable. Never actually goes away, believe it or not. I mean, it gets better over time, but even at the end of a year, I still had a little bit swollen head.
Huh.
The carbon dioxide is, when it's the lowest it can be on the space station, it's about 10 times what it is on Earth, 10 times higher, which is not comfortable. I think that also causes some congestion and eye irritation, a little bit of, when it gets really high, I think it has a little bit of an effect on your ability to perform at a high level. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives you a little bit of a mental deficit maybe. Our skin in space doesn't respond to that environment very well in a lot of people. So a lot of people get weird like rashes and other things on different parts of their body.
Can you take a shower in the space station?
Yeah, well, maybe that's the cause. Maybe that's why you get that. I don't know, because you don't take a shower for months, or in my case, nearly a year. You do a sponge bath, which I think is amounts to just moving the dirt around from one place to another.
Wow. Well, and you talk in your book, which is just out in paperback, Endurance, about how when you came back from your year in space, you were really sick. Like, you didn't feel well at all. Are you still feeling not perfect?
No, I'm fine.
You're
fine. I didn't feel well when I returned after being in space for a year. I mean, I quickly got over the worst symptoms, which was like stiffness and fatigue and swelling of my legs and nausea and a little bit of dizziness. I got over those kind of things within a few weeks. But now I don't have any symptoms of being in space for a year. I do have some structural changes in the physiology of my eyes, which is not completely uncommon for people that, spend extended periods of time in space. Mm-hmm. And, I have some genetic changes. 7% of my gene expression had changed. Actually, more than that had changed in space. But when I came back, 7%, last I checked, still hadn't returned to normal. Gene expression is, DNA, RNA, proteins, those things that, are very important to our physiology and what makes a cell become a liver cell versus an eyeball cell had either turned itself on or turned itself off. And we're trying to still understand that. Don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't have any physical symptoms of that.
Well, and we should mention at this point probably that you are a twin. Your twin, Mark Kelly, and many have been studying the two of you since you spent a year in space. He's been in space as well, but wasn't in space for as long as you.
Yeah, he flew in space four times over a 15-year career at NASA, all four times on the space shuttle, twice as the commander. My career was a little bit different because I, after my first two shuttle flights, I became a long-duration crew member. So I flew twice on the Soyuz and spent an extended time in space on two different occasions.
What was the most difficult thing emotionally for you about being in space for that long?
It's being physically detached from your family, loved ones, friends, people in general. Even though I liked all the people I was in space with, not a whole lot of variety. The other thing that is, I think, challenging is just the fact that you can't go outside. You can't, be in the sun. There's no rain, no wind. The environment within the space station never changes. You can't leave. It's not particularly a small place. I never really felt like I needed more room, but still, it's a place that you can't, you can never get away from, and you're always at work when you wake up in the morning and when you go to sleep at night, you're still at your place of employment for a long period of time.
What did it do to your relationship with your fiance, Amiko?
I think it made us a stronger couple. It gave us a shared experience that was challenging for both of us in different ways, but still challenging nonetheless. In some ways, I think it's more, you know, challenging for the people that get left at home than the person that's getting to experience something extraordinary. But I think it brought us together. And then also the pictures I took and the social media and the interaction, and she was a very large part of that. And having this project that included the pictures in this new picture book was something we were able to work on together, engaging the public with photos and, you know, commentary of living and working in space for a long period of time.
Well, now you're married, so I guess there's that as a piece of evidence that it worked out okay in the end.
Yeah, it worked out okay.
What do you think all of this, physical, emotional things that you experienced throughout this time in space, means for the next step, which would be sending a human maybe to Mars or something like that, where they'd have to be in space for a long time?
You know, I think we learned a lot about, you know, human physiology and performance by being in space for longer than we, you know, normally do this. Russian cosmonauts have spent a longer time on the space station Mir, but we have a much more significant capability to do science and collect data. So I think we learned some things from a human performance and physiology perspective that will help us go to Mars someday. But, you know, what I learned is that, you know, me personally, my personal takeaway from this experience, spending a year in space, but also just being a part of NASA and this incredible organization, is that we have the capacity to do amazing things, things that are incredibly complicated, difficult, challenging, if we choose to do them. So, you know, my biggest takeaway from this experience was that we need to have big goals, and if we work together, we can solve them.
You think we're going to go to Mars in your lifetime?
I don't know. I hope so. I know we can if we choose to. I'm just not sure whether we have if we're going to make that choice. I hope we do. I'll quote my brother here. He says something that I think makes a whole lot of sense. I don't say that often about him, but it was a joke, obviously. I think he listens to NPR, so I'll be careful. But he says it's not about, you know, getting to Mars is not about rocket science. It's about political science, and I think that's very true.
Your missions to the International Space Station relied a lot on the Russians. You trained at the Russian Center, Star City. You were launched and landed from Russia using Russian technology. Are you at all worried that with the tensions on the ground between Russia and the United States that the future of that relationship could negatively impact space exploration?
Well, I'm not worried about it. I think it's something that is always possible. You know, if our political climate between our two countries was to get worse, I would think it would have to get much worse. Because, you know, this is what's great about the space program. It gives you this place, this incredible place, to work in a collaborative nature on a neutral playing field on something that is very, very important to both of our countries and even, you know, other countries as well as, you know, being part of this international partnership. So I think the international aspect of spaceflight is incredibly important. I think it often transcends politics, and it never, you know, any kind of disagreement or conflict between, you know, the United States and Russia, never, in my experience, and I'm pretty sure I could probably speak for my colleagues, has never come between the crew members in space because, you know, we absolutely rely on each other for, you know, literally for our lives, for emotional support, for friendship, for, you know, support doing our work.
You ever talk politics with each other up there?
A little bit, but when I was on the space station, it's when this last time was when Russia first entered Syria, and there was concern that there could actually, you know, maybe even be, you know, an accident where you have, you know, the U.S. military in an armed conflict, a skirmish, you know, not something large, but with the Russian military. It's something we talked about a little bit, But it was almost like, you know, because we're in space on the space station working together as a team, it's almost like when we would talk about that, we were talking about two different countries that weren't our own. Like, you know, we were talking about Germany and China versus the United States and Russia.
If there is a little kid listening to this right now somewhere in America and they want to be an astronaut, what would you tell them?
Well, first thing I would tell them is, you know, congratulations for listening to NPR, little kid.
There That's are impressive. Some little kids, I guarantee it, who listen. I meet them sometimes.
But, you know, for kids that want to be an astronaut, I would say it's possible because I was this kid that, you know, was not a good student. I wasn't interested in school. Yet I found my own inspiration from a book. The book was The Right Stuff, which inspired me to try to become an astronaut and fly in space. And I would say that, you know, if I can do it, a lot of other people can do it too. And, you know, those kids out there today might be the kids that go to Mars.
I want to ask you one more question, Scott Kelly, about some of the photographs in your book, and that would be the photos of zinnias, flowers. This is one of the science projects you were doing at the space station. First of all, just tell us about that. Why were you taking pictures of these flowers?
Well, there's all different kinds of experiments on the space station, but some of them have to do with plant growth and, you know, whether we can cultivate more complex plants for use on a, you know, an extended mission, perhaps mm-hmm. to Mars someday, whether, you know, those plants are for food or other purposes. So we started out growing some lettuce, and then the next more complicated thing was a flowering plant, a zinnia. For some reason, they chose zinnias. But I, you know, I became very serious about those flowers when I took a picture of my flowers, and they weren't looking too good, and I posted it on Instagram.
And somebody said you were no Mark Watney.
Exactly.
Being the botanist in The Martian who grows
exactly.
potatoes on Mars.
That person threw down the gauntlet.
Right. And so, what'd you do? And,
so I was really motivated to out Mark Watney. And but, you know, it was interesting because how NASA research works, I would take pictures of the flowers and then they would – because of the bureaucracy and being told when to water them or not water them, the flowers – were completely out of phase with NASA bureaucracy, and they were either watered too much or watered too little until that person called me out on Instagram. And then I'm like, okay, I'm taking this project over myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to touch the leaves and, you know, determine as basically as if I was like an earthbound gardener whether these plants needed water or not and not you know, have to wait for the system to respond. And that seemed to work pretty well. And I was happy that NASA took my suggestion and decided that would be the better way to go.
Have you been gardening since you've been back on Earth?
I'd like to say yes, but I have to say no, I have not. I've been too busy to garden.
That is Scott Kelly, whose new book is called Infinite Wonder, an astronaut's photographs from a year in space. His memoir, Endurance, is also out in paperback. There's a kid's version as well. Scott Kelly, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.